Welcome, everyone. This is Russ Gosel, Chronicles of the End Times. So glad to be with you today. I hope you're doing well and prospering in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to be looking at the controversial subject of the rapture, those being caught away into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be looking at 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Paul's message to them in their time of great persecution reveals so much of what we need to know in the day that we live. Paul started the church in Thessalonica on his second missionary journey. He taught there for anywhere between 3 weeks and 3 months, but most believe it was probably more like 3 months because he was able to take two separate offerings at two different times to help those in Jerusalem. The Thessalonian church was under severe persecution. Paul was the center of most of it. The Jews were making it extremely difficult for him to minister there. They were harassing him at every turn. So eventually Paul left, hoping that that would ease the burden for the Thessalonian church. And later on in 2 Thessalonians, we read that he had to straighten out a few things. Paul was very concerned about them. He loved them so dearly, and he knew the enemy was trying to get in there. There were two main issues that he was dealing with. One, people abusing grace, that you could live any way you wanted to live. And Paul addressed that firmly in his first letter. And then in his second letter, he concentrates on the catching away of the church. Because someone with so-called authority, whether it be in a prophecy or a letter, was telling them the day of the Lord had already come. So Paul had to correct that. Down through the years, the rapture has been a very controversial subject as to the timing of it, or even if it exists at all. Some believe the rapture is going to take place before the tribulation period, which the Bible describes as a time of Jacob's trouble. Others believe it's going to be somewhere in the middle of the tribulation, when the Antichrist declares himself God in the temple. Others believe that the catching away that Paul describes is going to happen all at once, when Jesus comes back to judge the earth. So we're going to look at a couple things. One is, what is the day of the Lord? Is it a day? Is it a period of time? What is it? It's great to have you with me today. Let's get to it. Let's pick it up in chapter 4, where Paul is admonishing them and at the same time encouraging them to live a holy life that's worthy of the Lord. We know that holiness only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ, but there's a life that is to be lived that gives God glory, and that's what he's telling them here in chapter 4. Let's look at it. Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ to do this more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of Jesus Christ. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him, for the Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Paul is pretty clear here how he wants them to live. He wants them to guard their hearts and be aware of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Now in this next section, Paul's addressing the coming of the Lord. Let's check it out. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Paul is quoting Jesus here in verse 15. He says, according to the Lord's own word. That's the teachings that he got from the apostles. All those hours he spent with them telling him all about their walk with Jesus when he was here in the flesh. We have to remember that at this time, the Thessalonian church was going through severe persecution, as I mentioned. Paul was encouraging them to continue to live the lives that God wanted them to live because he was coming back. Later on in his second letter to the Thessalonians, he had to clear up a few things, and we're going to get to that next. Let's move on to chapter 5. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so at this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive the salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. It's interesting that Paul talks about the thief in the night, and he gets that from Jesus' teaching. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24 and begin with verse 36. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the second coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other will be left. Two women grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So there's a few things we need to consider here. And I know there's a lot of debate about this, but sometimes we just need the word to speak to us without having any preconceived ideas. So having read that, let's move on to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul is giving them further instruction and correcting a few things. Concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. Now, this is something that's often talked about and debated, so let's take a look at it. Paul says, and now you know what is holding him back, so he may be revealed at the proper time. The secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. So let's break this down. So what is holding him back? The what is the church? The presence of the bride of Christ is still in the world. No matter how dark the world gets, ugly it gets, no matter how great the persecution on the church, the salt and light is still here for people to see, for people to experience. That is the institution of the church, God's people. So he goes on to tell us that the power of lawlessness is already at work, and we certainly know that. And the one who now holds it back. So who's the who? The who is God. But God, who holds it back, because God is in control of everything, will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. Who could the he possibly be? It's the office of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit can't be taken out of the earth completely because the Holy Spirit is God. And without the Holy Spirit, the world wouldn't exist. But the Holy Spirit is taken out in the office of the church, in the dispensation of the church. But people are still going to get saved. And we know that from Revelation chapter 7. Millions and millions of people come to Christ during the tribulation, the greatest revival of all time. Just as God set the timetable for his son Jesus to come into the world, in the fullness of time, Christ came into the world. So God also has appointed time for the Antichrist to rise. The devil is not in power. These are God's prophecies. This is the word of God from all the way back to Genesis 3:15. So Paul's now reminding him, now you know what's holding it back. Everything I told you, all this information I'm giving you about the Antichrist and how he's going to rule the world and declare himself God and all of that. Now you know that the church is holding him back so that he may be revealed in a proper time. But the one God who now holds it back will continue to do so until the Holy Spirit in the office of the church and the dispensation of the church is taken out of the way, and that's the rapture. Let's continue. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. So some people have a little trouble with this as to why God would send this delusion, a spirit of delusion, because who can resist God? But the bottom line is that those who reject God have made up their minds. There's no turning back. And only God knows this. So he sends them a spirit of delusion. He said, this is what you want to do? Then I'm going to make sure you go all the way. There's a scripture that is also a little controversial. Back in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. And I'm going to go through the whole thing. But Micaiah, who was a prophet, he's standing in front of Ahab and Jehoshaphat. And they're about to go to war, and they're looking for someone to prophesy. And at this point, all Ahab's prophets had prophesied, over 400 of them, and they're all ranting and raving about how great Ahab is and how he's going to be victorious. And Micaiah shows up. He's brought out of prison, actually, and he tells them what he saw. I'll pick it up in 2 Chronicles 18:18. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and with all the host of heaven standing on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab, king of Israel, into attacking Ramoth-Gilead and going to his death there? One suggested this and another that. Finally, his spirit came forward, stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. By what means? The Lord asked. I will go and be a lying spirit in the mouths of all his prophets, he said. You will succeed in enticing him, said the Lord. Go and do it. So now the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouths of these prophets of yours. The Lord has declared disaster for you. That's what Micaiah said. So here we have a reference that might seem very strange, but it does match up with what we're reading about here in 2 Thessalonians. Now when you read these things and you start putting them together, you have to wonder, right? In 1 Thessalonians, someone wrote a letter to them, right? Someone prophesied or whatever it was, that they missed the day of the Lord. It was over. But Paul now is telling him, no, that's impossible. Because remember, I told you that the day of the Lord couldn't happen until the Antichrist rises up, the man of perdition. So what he's telling them here is that, don't you remember I told you that this is how it's going to end? So you didn't miss the day of the Lord. It's impossible to miss the day of the Lord. They obviously thought that the Lord had come and taken his people home. And as you can imagine, that was giving them nightmares. That was disturbing them to no degree. How could we have missed it? We were living for the Lord. How did we miss his coming? So Paul is reminding them of what the day of the Lord is going to be like. And for a little more clarification, let's go to the prophet Amos. And let's look at chapter 5, beginning at verse 18. The prophet says, "Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord! Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be though as a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear, as though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Pitch dark, without a ray of brightness." So this prophecy is giving us a little insight into what the day of the Lord is. Let's look to the prophet Joel, chapter 2. This is the scripture Peter quoted at the day of Pentecost. We see from this that there's going to be a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the last days that began at the day of Pentecost. And at the end of it, this is what Joel says is going to happen. "The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." So the day of the Lord here is a period of judgment. So Paul is telling them, don't you remember I told you about this? Don't worry, you haven't missed the catching away of the saints, because the day of the Lord can't come until the man of perdition is revealed. He goes on to comfort them. No, you're not in the day of wrath. You're not in the time of the great judgment. It becomes obvious that the day of the Lord is a period of time that God has laid out to capture his church and bring it home and to judge the earth. The Thessalonians thought they had missed it, but if in fact the catching away of the church was the end of the world, that would be pretty difficult to miss. If they believed and were taught that the catching away of the church was at the same time as this great battle between good and evil and the judgment upon the earth, they could have not been confused by anyone's letter saying that it had already come. As we wrap this section up, it's important for us to realize that the rapture is timeless. That while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Why did the Lord equate himself to a thief? He was saying that a thief comes only to steal the treasures. He doesn't come to empty your garbage out and take it out front. He doesn't come, well, let me help you paint your house or clean your home. He breaks into your house to steal jewels, to steal the most precious items. And that is God's people. So he's saying, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. You're not going to know when I'm coming. Boom, it's going to be gone. In a twinkling of an eye, and be caught away. But I would like to say this. Do I believe it's on a timer that when the tribulation begins, that moment the rapture takes place? It may or may not. We are the salt and we are the light. It's not for us to set our clocks as to when the rapture will be, or as some call it, escapism, because the church at Thessalonica was in deep persecution. Their homes were being taken away. People were being arrested. Persecution comes from the enemies of God. Wrath comes from God himself onto the unjust. There's a big difference. So let's not confuse persecution of the church with judgment from God, because they're two different things. And I appreciate all of you who are listening all around the world. At the time of this podcast, there are many Christians that are being persecuted around the world. At different degrees, some losing their lives, some losing their livelihood. And I appreciate all of you that are listening and have been listening for so long, not only in the United States, but in the United Kingdom, in Canada, in Germany, Australia, South Africa, the Netherlands, Norway, Pakistan, Zambia, so many places. And I apologize for American Christians because sometimes we forget that we're not the only Christians in the world, but the body of Christ is everywhere. I even have people listening in China. And to all of you who are up against it, I'd like to pray for you as we end this podcast. Father God, touch those who are in perilous times. Lord God, let us never forget, Lord Jesus, that persecution is coming to the whole world, not just to certain countries. But you are faithful, and you are loving, and you are kind. And Lord, the world that's coming and what you have for all your children is beyond anything we could imagine. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you are and all that you do. I pray your strength upon each one who's listening today. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Love you all. Keep looking up. The King is coming.